Phil Mackey here with a question for you business owners specifically. Have you ever had an insurance claim that left you feeling like you got sacked in the end zone? When something bad happens to the company you built with your blood, sweat, and tears, you don't want to be left sitting on the sidelines waiting to get back in the game. You want your insurance team to be ready with a game plan that helps you recover smoothly so you can get on with running your business. Your local Federated representative is ready to create a custom playbook of specialty insurance products and risk management strategies for you. Federated Insurance, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Score North Live.
It is Score North Live on 1500scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile app. Rami Makhlouf in the TCL broadcast studios, as always, with Judd Zulgad, Danny Cunningham sticking around after the Vikings vent line show, Manny Hill, other side of the glass, and on the ones and twos. Lots to get to with you in these next 2 hours, including we will talk with Dan Hayes of The Athletic, talk some Twins and the aftermath of the Zach Wheeler signing and what it means for the Twins moving forward. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock, but what's up, Danny?
It means they're not going to have Zach Wheeler.
Thanks. That's why you're here, buddy. That's why you're here.
You asked,
for analysis just like that. I appreciate it. Hopefully Dan has more than that. Otherwise, it's going to be a super quick interview. But I want to start the afternoon off.
I hope that's exactly what he says.
With some Minnesota Vikings discussion. And Dalvin Cook had the, and we don't really know what the injury is. They haven't specifically said what the injury is, right? They reported it as a shoulder, then he said it was a chest thing that was aggravated when the ball was punched out
and he sort of fell
on top of the football.
Yep.
This appears to be a thing that can linger, can keep on popping up, that could be a problem for Dalvin Cook moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all in agreement Dalvin Cook is the most important player on this football team for their success? Because that's where I'm at. I don't think they can go very far without Dalvin. That's the one guy that they lose him, and I go, it's probably done. They're probably over.
I do think that he's very valuable. The guy I would put ahead of him there is Kirk Cousins. If they lose Kirk Cousins, they are absolutely going nowhere. Not because of how good Kirk Cousins is, but Sean Mannion is taking
you
nowhere.
Yeah, that's true. I guess the drop-off
The drop-off is exactly what you consider. I don't know how wise it would be to play him this week because I think you can beat Detroit without him. Detroit isn't necessarily a pushover, I don't think, but you can beat the Lions without him. And you don't want this to continue to be an issue moving forward. Maybe a week of rest will help, and we don't know what the injury is, so it's hard for me to really speculate on whether or not even resting would help. Maybe it's something that even with rest, it's still going to continue to pop up and it's a pain tolerance thing. That's what it could be.
It could be a shoulder injury. We've heard AC joint, right?
Yeah. So,
Danny, you have had shoulder injuries in the past.
Numerous.
Do those get better by just, like, if it's the type of thing where it's like, it's popping out, who do we hear that about? Just, somebody in Minnesota just had that type of injury where it kept on popping out. They had a shoulder that kept on popping out. Who was it? I don't know. Byron Buxton.
Byron Buxton, and again, we don't know what Dalvin Cook's injury is. Byron Buxton's injury was different than an AC joint. I never experienced an AC joint injury when I hurt myself a bunch. I experienced what Byron Buxton experienced, and then I experienced more severe dislocations. AC joints it's a painful thing. It's more of a shoulder separation than a dislocation. So it depends on whether or not there's ligament damage there, which there very well could be, or there could be bone damage. I don't know.
You're right, something that rest doesn't fix. Like, it might be something that requires surgery at some point. You just got to play through it right now.
A lot of times with shoulder injuries, it's not a thing that rest does fix. Your ligaments in that area of your body don't just heal from rest.
But Judd, even if it is something that rest can't fix, to me, the less he's in harm's way to re-aggravate or worsen the injury, the better. And this is a Lions team that you should be able to beat without Dalvin Cook. Do you think they should sit him this Sunday? Just sit him out, rest him, get the win and move on and hopefully have a healthier or at least less at risk Dalvin Cook?
Yes. Yeah, because you know what? It's clear. If this was a nuisance type thing, but in truthfulness was not that big of a deal, then guess what? He comes back on Monday night, right? He comes back at some point in time. He didn't. Yeah, I think the common sense play here is don't play him. play them the next week when you play the Chargers. And I mean, this could be what? This could be a shoulder joint problem. This could be a collarbone problem. This could be, but yeah, you're playing Detroit. You're at home. Madison's not a bad player too. He's a nice young player.
That's the other aspect.
He's a very nice young player. I don't think that he's going to fold in the face of more reps. I could see a very compelling case to say, Dalvin, I get it. You want to play. You're talking like you can play for the sake of this team and these last four games or three games after Detroit. And just as importantly, the playoff push, you're not playing. Yes, I think that makes perfect sense.
So we're all on the same page. Sit Dalvin Cook on Sunday.
And if this was the Packers or something, then I could see being like, no, I can't do that.
Right, exactly.
But if this is, if he's going to get hurt again, you know, if he gets the ball in the second quarter and goes down again and is lost, and now it might be for the Chargers game or the Packers game.
Or he's just not the same the rest of the year.
And that could be the case. But I still like Rami's idea of let's limit the opportunity for him to make it worse.
Put him in harm's way as little as you can.
Against Detroit.
Right.
I think that's a good idea.
Is there any part of you that says, nah, every snap, every game is crucial right now, because their hopes of winning the division, and we've talked extensively about how important getting home field advantage for at least one game in the playoffs could be for this Vikings team. I think they can get through the playoffs winning road games. I wouldn't pick them to do that. I won't say that they will. I think they can. They improve their chances greatly by winning the division and getting at least one home game in the postseason. Is there any part of you that says, yeah, it's the Lions. You probably can beat them with Dalvin Cook, but every win is so crucial right now as you try and get a leg up on the Packers and win the NFC North, that no, it's got to be all hands on deck and Dalvin Cook has to play.
I mean, the worst timeline is Dalvin Cook not play and then they end up turning in a clunker and losing, and then you look back, well,
because you talked about
Kirk Cousins. And those things happen, and we've seen it happen with this team. We saw it happen a couple weeks ago against Denver, who's a bad team that they found a way to beat, but they turned in a clunker against a team that they were certainly better than, and you would hate for that to be the case. And then not only do they lose that game, but then this team starts to feel real pressure because it becomes a race for that last playoff spot rather than, oh, we're just kind of keeping our head above water and we're fine. It becomes the Rams are awfully close.
If you can't beat this Lions team with
are you about to pull
Madison
the they don't deserve to?
Playing, well, I'm just, if you come out and turn in another first half clunker like you did against Denver, then I'm done with you. I mean, you're just not that good. Then forget about it.
Aren't you already done
then
with them? You already said they can't win a Super Bowl.
No, they can't, but they're a playoff team. No, I think I'm not done, because making the playoffs it's not a failure. I'm just telling you that if you are going to go into that Detroit game and collapse again, then I can't help you out.
Without Matthew Stafford.
I think the common sense plan is what you just said, which is, I like the idea in football of removing the opportunity from an injured player to try and play, because they will. Thielen might be done now, and part of why he might be done is that stupid Kansas City game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that should have been Adam Thielen.
Is that what you're hearing? Thielen might be done. Do we have?
Well, he continues to have setbacks every time he tries to play.
Any indication out of the building? And
well, no, okay. No. But common sense says yes, because he tried to come back entire bye week off. He tries to come back on Tuesday and run and aggravated again. This is obviously a bad problem. But the point is, the Kansas City game, it's clear that he pushed to play. Really bad idea. Like, really stupid idea, right? I'm sure if you went back to him now and are like, here's what's going to happen, he'd be like, okay, I'm not going to play in that game, not even try. But the point being is, if Dalvin Cook's dressed on Sunday, guess who's going to try and play?
Dalvin Cook.
That's how these guys are wired.
You have to protect them, the athletes.
And that's what you've said.
Yes, you do.
Danny, for ages.
Byron Buxton. Byron Buxton is the prime example of this. The Twins had to protect Byron Buxton from himself, and they failed to do so.
Mm-hmm. The only hesitance I have is, because you mentioned Kirk Cousins and how obviously important he is because of what's behind him. But
yeah,
Kirk Cousins is a major benefactor of what Dalvin Cook does out there on the football field. Teams have to respect the run game more when Kirk Cousins is out there, and that opens things up in the pass game. He's sort of a safety valve for Kirk Cousins in terms of using the screen game. I agree this isn't that good a Lions football team, but that doesn't mean that there can't be pitfalls in sending Dalvin Cook against them. And a loss now, you're out in terms of getting home field advantage. I think you're asking for too much help at that point. And the Rams, as you indicated, Danny, they're right on your heels. So I just wonder if what that does to the offense as a whole puts you at risk of dropping a game that you should win and keeping yourself in position to at least have a good shot at getting a home playoff game.
So I do think that Kirk Cousins at this point can go out and win. He can, even if Dalvin Cook's not playing, Kirk Cousins can go out and he can get you to a win against Detroit at home. Kirk Cousins is very, very capable of that. If we've seen, and if we have learned anything from week 5 on, it's that Kirk Cousins can win you a regular season game at home. Without question. He is good enough to do that. I don't want to say no matter who is around him, but he can do it without Dalvin Cook. He's done it without Adam Thielen. He can accomplish that. I have confidence there in Kirk.
But he's going to be without Thielen and Cook now.
I think that can still be done.
But if this prolongs Cook's season and then he can come back for the Chargers game and be, let's say his health has declined 40% right now, and I can get him back for the Chargers game, and let's say he is at, because of the time off, 60%.
Yeah.
I'll take that trade off. At some point in time here, you have to gamble. Because here's the weird thing about this team and their current predicament. I think they're a playoff team, but the reality of their situation is, I think internally, that's not necessarily good enough. Mm-hmm. If this was a pop-up or, if this was a developing team, for instance, and, we're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be great. We don't be like, that's fantastic. You made the playoffs and that's a real step.
Certainly.
But the expectation of this team, despite the fact that I have them dead and buried in this area, is Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So how can I get Dalvin Cook? If Dalvin Cook comes back and plays against the Lions and goes out in the second quarter, and now let's say he's out 2 weeks and he's going to miss the Chargers game and Packers game, right?
Mm.
That's a huge problem. So I'm almost gambling now that I can beat the Lions, because my thought process in Egan still has to be Super Bowl, despite the fact that Judd Zolgad personally thinks that's not going to happen.
By the way, selfishly, I want Dalvin Cook to play because the Vikings are trying to secure playoff position. I'm in the playoffs in fantasy football.
Okay, no one cares.
And I need
Dalvin Cook. I'm on the show. I'm turning the station.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hold on a second.
What are you turning to? Hold on. Christmas music?
Wait, I'm going to check what the other sports station's talking about. Okay, I don't like that. Let me see here.
I was going to say, there's no other good sports.
There's no other good sports. Carly Rae Jepsen's new tune is on.
Just put Raised by Wolves on.
You could, Judd.
I've got a radio here.
If you're looking for good sports talk, yep, and this isn't it, you can always go to the Score North mobile app and listen to whatever you please.
How?
We have over 20 podcasts in our stable there.
That's gonna cost me how much?
No, it's totally free. Totally free.
Hold on a second.
It's a Christmas special.
Hold on a second. So, you started talking about something I don't care about. I turned you off, but for totally free, I can get Raised by Wolves.
You can go and listen to Raised by Wolves.
Or the Score North Twin Show.
Talking some Wolves. When did the newest Raised by Wolves go up? Yesterday?
Tuesday.
So there's a pretty fresh episode there. I know there's Royce Unchained. You got The Scoop with Doogie.
Don't forget Conduits of Trouble.
Conduits of Trouble. I'm sure you would enjoy the hell out of that.
Honestly, everyone should just go listen to the latest Vikings event line this morning.
Robbie,
it was fantastic.
Robbie, it was an hour of fastballs coming at our heads with predictions.
Such as what? Hit me with some of them. Let's go. Okay with this.
We had a number of different, we had some wild predictions. We had,
Richard in Miami thinks that, Ron Rivera and, Cam Newton will be with the Vikings next year.
And Kirk Cousins will be in Cincinnati.
That would be terrible.
We had,
it was such a fun show.
Was it Dave in South Carolina said that Zimmer's going to be asked to give up the defensive play calling before this season is over?
To do what? What's that going to accomplish? Is there a better defensive play caller in the building than Mike Zimmer?
That's not the point. The point is the fastballs were flying at our heads. And then he said that the Vikings would...
So it was just fastball predictions. They didn't have to make sense. It's kind of like write that down.
Rick said, I think Rick said that they are going to...
Called a crystal ball.
Yeah, crystal ball predictions. Okay. Rick said that they're going to lose to Detroit, beat the Chargers, lose to the Packers, lose to the Bears, miss the playoffs, clean house.
Fire everybody.
Wow.
It was, I opened up the phone lines.
Man, if they missed the playoffs.
Nick from Blaine was the only guy who was like, I'm just going to give you some positives, okay? Because everybody else was saying missed the playoffs, everyone fired. Kirk Cousins has a no trade clause. It didn't slow Richard for 1 second. He's like, they'll work a way to trade him to Cincinnati.
They'll just find a way.
If they don't, yes. If they don't make the playoffs, Vikings fans are going to be distraught.
If they don't make the playoffs, they have to clean house.
Yes. I mean, then there's really no choice.
I don't know what
it would take. That's such a game changer. Epic collapse at this point.
That would be such a game changer. Well, and the problem too is,
I don't know why we're going down this road, but if they miss the playoffs, watch out.
If the callers were right, the other part of the issue is that's going to mean almost certainly that Cousins collapsed, which I don't foresee.
Yeah.
He's been good now, aside from the KC game, which was just a bad game by the team. You know, he's been pretty damn good since the start of October. So that would take a Cousins collapse, which I don't think is going to happen. I'm not saying that Kirk is going to turn into the greatest quarterback of all time in these next four games, but he's been solid, right? Really solid?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, but I was shocked when we opened up those phone lines and people were like, bang, boom! Vikings Ventline Coffee Club, man, was on fire.
And that's
fire.
What we're calling our regulars now, the Coffee Club.
Ventline Coffee Club.
We're going to have shirts made, right? Yeah. 8 to 10?
We're going to have shirts made.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I already started moving that up the ladder.
Went down to Phil's office immediately after the show and said, we need shirts and so do the callers. It was great.
I like it. I'm good with it. So you can listen to Vikings Ventline weekdays at 11.
I implore you to.
10 day after Vikings games. Or if you hate me in this show, anytime you want.
Nobody hates you until you start talking about your fantasy football league team, Rami, and then everybody hates you.
Yeah.
It's not you, it's the subject.
It's the playoffs, man.
I don't care.
Come on.
Manny, can you turn off his mic?
I brought him. You can't do that.
Okay, I got a quick question. Just quickly. Okay. Quick question.
Don't get hooked here, Judd.
If you could give me three to five things that people care about for themselves that nobody else wants to hear about, fantasy sports has to be one of them, right?
No doubt. Yeah. Fantasy sports, dinner plans, like trying to decide where you're going to eat dinner in front of somebody. I don't care.
And if I care, and I'm saying, butcher boar or something, and you're like, Judd,
I had that in the rundown for the next segment. What should I do for dinner tonight?
No, you didn't. The rundown was blank.
No, I didn't.
Okay, dinner plans?
I am contemplating it, though, if you guys want to help me out.
All right.
You are just the worst.
Okay, I've got a question. How far, because no kids for me, no kids for Danny, Rami, Manny. How much, and I'm talking to your friends, how much do you want to hear about their kids? Because I would say saying I don't care about your kids is not true. I do care.
So I don't know if
you're going to tell me a little bit about them, I'm into it. But what's the line,
you know,
there?
What? I want to open up the phone lines.
I'm throwing this out there on Twitter too.
651-646-8255. What don't you want to hear us talk about?
or what don't you care, like your friends too, though?
Right. What don't
it's
you care?
It's not just us.
What do people talk to you about and you immediately check out?
But where's the line on kids? Because I would never say
pictures.
I've got friends who talk about their kids, and I do care, you know.
But I don't need to see pictures all the time.
Okay,
I don't mind pictures.
Here's my thing with kids and pictures on Facebook.
Yes,
all four of us are on Facebook.
Yes, I don't spend much time there anymore.
Right. I don't either. I don't.
I'm with both of you guys.
I don't spend nearly as much time on Facebook as I used to. But one of the things that used to drive me crazy about all my friends on Facebook who had kids, where they would post pictures of their kids eating food.
Okay.
And like, you know, the 2-year-old kid, the 3-year-old kid sitting at the table eating spaghetti.
Is it cute? Like, are they getting it all over their face, making a big mess? The dog is licking it off.
All over their face, the noodles hanging off the side.
If it's cute and funny, I'm okay with that.
I am not anti-kids. I like kids, but a kid with spaghetti sauce smeared all over their face is not cute.
I don't know. I think that's pretty cute.
It's not cute.
I think that's pretty cute. I don't know. 651-646-8255.
Yeah, if I had kids and my kid was sitting at the table and he or she was eating spaghetti and they had tomato sauce
all over their face,
every 2 seconds I would be wiping that sauce off of their face. It's not cute.
No, man. I've been around
kids. Are otherwise cute.
I have a niece and nephew. If you're gonna wipe off every bit of spaghetti sauce or whatever it is that they're eating as it falls onto their face, you're
gonna put in the work and do it.
You're gonna be a busy man, dude.
I would not be taking pictures and putting it on Facebook.
Gym routines.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm actually fascinated.
I don't care what you do in the gym.
I'm actually fascinated by gym routines. I am.
Gym selfies too.
Am I crazy? Now, gym selfies, that's going too far. Yeah. But like, I'm genuinely intrigued and fascinated. Like, there are athletes and fitness people who I follow on Twitter or Instagram, and they post their workouts, and I'm intrigued
okay,
by
that's
it.
That's athletes. I'm talking your friends.
Joey tweets in at us and says, I have a friend that likes to walk through his golf round shot by shot. That's miserable.
That's been done for years on a competing station at one time. Yeah, that's true. Cause you don't care about that.
When it comes to kids.
I'm talking friends though, cause if an athlete posts his gym routine, I can sort of see being like, oh, that's interesting.
Okay, I'm talking normal situation.
But you're talking about like, yeah.
Even that,
I don't care
what Rami does in the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
But we've talked about what we do in the gym. But you told me what you do.
I don't care what you do. I just want to tell you what I do.
And like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, he's like every other day he's posting on his Instagram like him in the gym doing stuff.
I've taken stuff from The Rock's workout and incorporated it into my own workout. There are exercises.
And you know what? If you look like The Rock, you can talk about it all day.
Yep.
You've earned that. If you look like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you have earned the right to talk about what you do in the gym as often as you like.
When it comes to kids, let's go back to kids for a second. I want to hear, if there are accomplishments to speak of, I don't mind hearing about those. Like, I got one friend,
Eating spaghetti is not an accomplishment.
No, that's just cute and funny. I'm always down for cute and funny. I got a friend whose son is a real good soccer player, so he'll send us videos of his kid scoring 6 goals in a day, or send us pictures from the game, sure. And, like, brag on his son, and that's cool. I think that's cool. If your kid made the honor roll, shoot me a text, man. Let me know. I think that's great. You're doing a good job.
You want a text on that?
Yeah, whatever.
Don't text me. Don't. No. Good for you. Your kid's a nerd. Congratulations.
What don't you want to hear your friends talk about? 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North.
So a couple tweets rolling in here. At Real D Cunningham, at Rami is tweeting, at Jay Zolgat, at Manny Hill 84, and at Score North. Craig says, fantasy football war stories, yes. And bad NCAA bracket beats in March. I don't care about your bracket at all.
You know, that's a great one.
That is a fantastic one.
Really?
I could care. Oh my God.
You the filled out a form. The worst thing.
I don't care at all.
Well, here's the thing
that's
with
like
that,
a
too.
Communal thing. We all have brackets. Let's discuss.
And I don't care who you pick.
He's right. But see, Rami, here's the thing with that.
I don't understand this.
But Rami, if you had Virginia in your Final Four and the University of
Maryland,
Baltimore County beats as a 16 seed, becomes the first 16 seed to beat a 1 seed in NCAA tournament history. Guess what? I don't need to know that your bracket is busted because you know what? If a 16 beats a 1, everybody's bracket is busted.
I get that.
I don't want to hear it.
I understand that. I think there is bracket talk that can be interesting to me. There is.
I'm going
to
tell you this right now. I think in all the subjects that we are bringing up right now, the key word is brevity. All right?
That's true.
Because if there's an upset on Thursday and it busted your bracket and you're like, oh man, North Carolina lost. And that's all you say to me. I'm like, oh, that's too bad. But if you want to run down 6 things, guess who's going to check out? Judd Zolgad. Because he don't care. I don't care.
The only time I have ever had a conversation about my bracket in the history of my life of filling out brackets was the one year where I won my pool without having any of my Final Four teams right. And the only reason why I mentioned that is because I didn't have any of the Final Four teams right.
And you know what, man?
And I still won the pool.
I barely care, too.
And you know what? That's great, but I don't care.
Yeah, well, that's just it.
I barely care.
I was just going to say.
So that's the only reason why, because that was a unique situation.
You guys might be onto something here, because I just checked out on Manny while he was telling me.
There you go. There you go.
Well, you've got no attention span, so.
And here's the thing.
And, Rami, that was 13 years ago, the year George Mason went to the Final Four.
Here's the thing with
really lost me, man.
Because the brevity part is very true. If I say, oh, wow, that's cool, when I get to the third time saying, oh, wow, that's cool, I am not listening anymore at all. I am just filling in silence with the word.
I'm going to give you one for kids, all right?
All right.
Johnny won his Little League title. Oh, that's awesome. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny won his Little League title, and in the semifinal game, he got a double, and it went all the way to the right field wall, and I was saying, Johnny, take third. Okay, I'm done.
Run, Johnny,
I don't want to hear it. No,
we can't. Your kid's slow.
I want no highlights.
Your kid can't run.
The key to brevity is this. Think of it as a newspaper column.
Is this all kids? Because my nephew, I want to hear everything about his baseball game. That's my dude. That's my little...
Should have gone.
I live in a different state.
Well, you left him then.
I want to know, like, he was
this kid's done with you.
You abandoned him.
The only way that you're my dude is if you're going to take care of me in old age since I don't have kids. And if you're not, I don't want to hear that much about you.
He will.
But think of this.
I have faith.
Think of this. No, he won't. Don't kid yourself. You got no chance. Think of it this way. It's a story. I want the headline, right? Don't write the story for me, though. Don't need to hear the details.
Give it to me in tweet form.
Exactly.
240 characters.
Thank you.
That's all I need.
You guys are right about brevity. People have diarrhea of the mouth. People don't know how to tell stories. They just go on. They're giving you way too many details, mm-hmm. way too many words. It goes on and on. Word economy is important. And talking about anything. That was one of the things that when I first started hosting a show, my boss would sit down with me and play clips from the show and be like, you could have said that in half the time. You could have said what you just said mm-hmm. in half the time, sure. and it would have been better. More people would have been interested and engaged. That's something that I have learned working in radio and doing comedy. Say what you want to say in as few words and as quickly as you possibly can.
Doomsday Man says,
I vigorously disagree with this.
TV shows that they're binging.
I totally disagree with that.
Don't want to hear about them.
What?
Yep. Why?
Because it might turn me on to something new. I might find a show.
When Game of Thrones was happening and people would talk about Game of Thrones to me, there was no conversation exactly. I wanted to hear less than Game of Thrones
we
talk.
We spent a whole segment.
Well, once I establish I'm not interested in your show, yeah, don't
That's
talk me to me
with
about
all
your
the
show.
Danny and I are...
We spent a whole segment of Score North Sundays, I think, trying to convince you
to watch Game of Thrones.
To get into Game of Thrones. And at the end of the segment, it was like 20 minutes. And at the end of the segment, Danny's like, nah.
Just dumb.
Nah.
I don't want to hear about your show with dragons and a fake throne.
Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm totally with you on that. But I don't want to hear about a show. But here's the worst part. If you're going to tell me about a TV show that you're binging or watching, there's no shot at brevity. Because you're going to want to go into why you like it, the characters, why this one character is so great. And I'm so checked out on the crap that you're feeding me right now that...
I have a whole social media segment, which is this, by the way. It's What Are We Watching? Sponsored by TCL TV.
But people can watch that because they want to watch it. But what I'm saying is
It's a 2 minute and 20 second clip, so I have to be brief, yeah.
That's perfect. But ordinarily... Think about the last time a friend said to you, I'm watching this show, and then briefly told you about the show. It's always like, and then on Wednesday night's episode, I'm so excited because this might have, okay, I don't care.
Another one.
Don't care.
Office gossip in an office you don't work in.
Oh, do not care.
Like, love it. If there's something going on here,
yeah.
I probably want to hear about it.
Absolutely.
If Judge's going to tell me something about someone here or in a different department, even in the building, if it's in this building.
Yep. I think it's Chris Rock.
I'm interested.
I think it's Chris Rock who has a great bit on this about listening to his wife or girlfriend come home and tell him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That B word.
Yeah. I told you that, crazy.
If it's happening at one of my friends at home and they're telling me about Karen in their office, I'm like, dude, I don't care about Karen. I don't know Karen. I'm never going to meet Karen.
Okay.
I don't care what she had for lunch.
We got to get to a break, but real quick, I have to ask this. How good are you, and I think we do this more with women or romantic interest than we would with other people, how good are you at faking being interested when somebody is talking about something you don't want to hear about?
It's something I need to improve upon.
When the wife or girlfriend comes home and is telling you all about her office drama that you really don't care about, how good are you at faking it?
My wife, God bless her, is really good. If it's really important, I know it. And if it's not, she won't discuss it. So it's fine. Because I don't fake it, but if
she has a good, you should hear about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so she knows, but I know that if she starts saying this upset me or something, that I actually care. but she will not start talking about, oh yeah, today at work. And no, I am, she is great at keeping that as far away from me as possible because she knows I don't care. And I think, to be frank about it, I think she doesn't care about what goes on here, and that's fine too. She shouldn't.
I have a tweet from JMT. He says, I keep it simple. Don't have any friends, but stop listening when girlfriend talks about work drama. And Brian K says, and this is really at the root of all of this and a good way to tie a bow on it and wrap up the segment. Really, what you guys keep coming back to is people just won't shut the hell up. It doesn't really matter what they're talking about.
I've got one more.
Okay.
Oh, here's a good one too.
This is different than the one you're seeing.
Okay.
Ben Heisler says, just remember, I care about your fantasy teams.
There you go. And Benny joins us every Friday at 1:20 with some fantasy wisdom for
also,
us.
Also, General Soreness says, your holiday
plans. That's the one I was just off.
Unless you're spending time with me.
That's so true.
I don't care where you're going to be.
That's an awesome one.
I feel like
General Soreness is so right.
I feel like I have more patience for some of these things than you guys do. Like I said, I don't mind hearing about shows you're binging. I don't mind hearing about meals you've cooked or eaten. I don't mind hearing about your kids. I don't mind hearing about your workout routine. And I don't mind hearing about your holiday plans. I think I'm nicer than everybody else here.
What are you doing for the holidays?
Me? I'm going back to...
Ronnie, you should watch Watchmen on HBO. It's a really good show.
That's what I hear. It's actually on my list, Manny. Really good, Thank you.
I think Ohio State's a sleeper in the brackets.
I appreciate
this year.
You telling me that.
I can't wait for Christmas because we're going to go out to eat, and let me tell you all about it.
All right, Score North Live on 1500, ScoreNorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. We'll get to things you do care about, namely the Minnesota Vikings, right after this on 1500, ScoreNorth.com, the Score North mobile app.
Score North Download. I am Manny Hill. This Score North Download is brought to you by Baird. Baird offering trusted financial advice and services since 1919. The Vikings losing to Seattle on Monday. They've got the Detroit Lions coming up here on Sunday. And question for Zim. Was the team sort of panicking, especially when they fell down by 17 in the second half?
But yeah, I'm not saying panic. I mean, you know, sometimes when things aren't going exactly how you expect them to go, they start doing things on their own. Okay, I'm going to go make this play. You know, even though the block tells me to do this, I'm going to go do this. And that's kind of what we did. And I mean, that happens from time to time. You just got to get back and get settled in and get back to work.
And just don't panic. That would be ideal, too. That's your Score North Download. Now back to Score North Live.
On 1500, ScoreNorth.com and the Score North mobile app. Keep tweeting us at 105.7 FM The Fam with things you don't want to hear people talk about.
Sorry, where?
What's that again?
At Score North. Damn, I just did that, didn't I? I haven't done that.
You haven't worked there in a year.
Dude, I haven't done...
Did we touch the FM?
I haven't given
up... We did it!
I haven't given out the Twitter handle of my old station the entire time I've been here. I've done it with the station, like the name of the station. I've done it with the teams. I've done it with the phone numbers.
We get it, Rami. You're
from
Milwaukee.
Where the hell was that stored in my weird brain? What just happened? Tweet us at Score North. Things you don't want to hear people talk about, including my previous stop in radio.
That's
I like it.
Get to the Vikings here in just a second, but Chad has a great point tweeting at all of us and at Score North. I am good at fake listening till she asks a question. Then I'm bleeped.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ultimate pitfall. And they know it. They know it. That's the test.
Gets me every time.
That's the test. They're going to ask you a question just to check if you were listening. You have to at least listen for a few key words so you can
that's fake, a good point, yeah.
So you can
yeah.
fake answering the question.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Question I have is, do you think, and this comes from a spoiler alert, we interviewed Sage Rosenfels. We pre-recorded. It'll be on Mackie and Judd with Rami this afternoon at about 4:30. And he seems to think, and I respect Sage, he has very much football wisdom. That's why we do Sage Football Wisdom every Thursday with him on Mack and Judd with Rami. You can catch him on Purple Daily as well, Mondays and Wednesdays. He seems to think that this Lions team is better than their record might indicate. I haven't seen a ton of Lions, probably 4 games, maybe 5 games so far this year.
Sure.
I don't get that impression. I don't think this is a better football team than the record might indicate. And one of the things that Sage points to when talking about that is a lot of close losses. And I think that is the most overplayed, overvalued narrative in the NFL because who's getting blown out every week? I remember when John
the
Fox.
The Dolphins?
That's true. I remember when they John should, Fox was the Bengals. Coach of the Bears, and people would defend him by going, yeah, man, but look how many games they lost by just one score. Everybody's losing by one score or 10 points in the NFL. There aren't a ton of blowouts. There's one or two blowouts every week, and every other game is close.
The Chargers have literally lost. All eight of the Chargers' losses have been...
Within one score?
Have been by 7 points. Seven.
I don't think the Chargers play games that aren't decided by one score.
They either, it's every
the
single Charger.
Philip Rivers
formula.
His entire career has been the ball on his own 25, a minute 50, no timeouts, down four.
They're 4-8.
That's
and
his
eight.
Career.
Yeah.
The Chargers are 4-8 and they have a +3 point differential for the season.
Okay, you might be able to point to them being better than the record might indicate. The Lions, 7 of their 8 losses have been by one score. So what? Tell me one thing that the Lions do well, especially with Matthew Stafford not a quarterback. Tell me one thing that they do really well. Do they run the ball? Do they block well?
Well, they can run a little bit, but I don't like them.
So. People thought that defense would be something this year.
I forgot to do this
all
week.
Oh, yeah, you forgot to put the pencil in your ear.
I'm so bummed I forgot to do that all week.
Sit up straight, too, Danny.
Yeah. You could have started on Tuesday. You should have started that Tuesday.
I know, I should have. I can't believe I forgot. I should have on Monday.
I'm with you. They do nothing that... They don't scare me. I think that... Patricia is going to be fired either after this year or next year. I don't think he's a very good head coach. Yeah, there's no, as far as I'm concerned with Detroit, and this is not surprising, there is no there.
No.
There's just nothing there.
Yeah.
They've taken steps backwards again.
They're not a good football team.
No.
And I don't care how many one score losses they have. I'm not going to be convinced that they're a good football team or they're better than their record might indicate.
Agreed.
To me, the NFL, even though it's the smallest sample size of the major sports, is the ultimate you are whatever your record says you are in terms of professional sports. I don't think that there is no deciphering and going, well, but if you look at this and you look at that, they're actually better than what you see on paper. I've never looked at the NFL that way. I think you literally are whatever your record says you are at the end of the season.
But for as bad as the Lions might be, and for as much of a dumpster fire as they are and for as much of a bad coach as Patricia might be, this game Sunday is no shoe-in for the Vikings.
And I don't know that I would go all the way to say you are what your record is because the Buffalo Bills are 9-3. I don't think
there are exceptions to the rule.
Like I do think that you have to look at
there are exceptions to every rule.
You have to look at
that.
Who teams have played and who teams have beat. I do firmly believe that you have to do that. Like if you look at sure, Detroit they are who their record is a little bit more than Buffalo because they haven't beat anyone good. Their strength of victory is 306. That means that's the winning percentage of the teams they've beat is 306.
See,
they
haven't beat anyone good. Now we're getting into BCS territory with stuff like that.
No, though. That's just who have you played.
Right.
That's not BCS territory. I'm not bringing in computers here. I'm saying, they've not beat anyone good.
No, but I said this the other day about the Vikings and a lot of teams in the NFL. I think the Packers are like this. The Cowboys are like this. There are a bunch of teams around the league who are in first place in their division or who have a winning record, and people will look at their schedule and go, yeah, but who'd they beat?
Because you can say that about the Vikings.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, because there is no middle class in the NFL. So every week you're playing a bad team or a good team. There is no in-between.
There's a lot of garbage here.
Detroit's,
as far as I'm concerned, Detroit is basically garbage and has been for years.
And there's also, you know, every week there's also the possibility of one good team having a hiccup week against a bad team. We saw the Saints lay an egg at home against the Falcons a couple of weeks ago. The Packers, if the Chargers are not a good team, the Packers went on the road and got their asses kicked.
Yeah, there's always the chance of you just not showing up with your A game or them playing over their heads or whatever the case might be where the better football team will lose. But I think more times than not, whatever plays out on the football field is a pretty good indicator of who everyone is. I don't think there's a lot of gray area necessarily in the NFL and what your record is.
Well, and Detroit's not that team for sure.
No.
Like if we were to talk about...
Manny, you say this isn't a gimme? This is about as close to a gimme as they've had on their schedule.
Oh, if they lose this game,
the Giants was the thing.
Yeah. I said it's close to
a gimme. But if they lose this game, I'm bailing.
The Giants was this close to
a gimme. I'm bailing. I'm bailing if they lose this game.
If they lose, are you going to hop on my bandwagon if they lose?
Then I'm very upset. Then yeah.
No. Are you going to be on my side if they lose?
Well, if you lose this game, I don't know that you do make the playoffs now and you're completely free-falling and collapsing as far as I'm concerned. Listen, you know what I have not forgotten about this team yet, and I refuse to just get past this despite the fact that I've been told I should. The first half of that Denver game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll I can't get past it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is,
you can have a bad half of football. That doesn't bother me.
Oh, not against that team.
That doesn't bother me. That's a good defense.
But here's the thing, Ryan.
Done by the quarterback.
You can look at Sunday's game and say the Lions are a dumpster fire and the Vikings should win because they're a better football team. But the whole week leading up to the Denver game, we were thinking this game is not going to be close. It's Brandon Allen.
I came in and told Danny this could be a problem.
And it wasn't. They won.
They won, but I told you it could be a problem.
Adam West said pets, specifically friends.
Yeah, man.
Who
I was about to bring
child.
That up.
I like it. Good one.
You
great
know,
one. I've got a pet.
What? I love hearing about your pet.
How's Stella?
Favorite,
good.
My
bang.
Favorite.
End.
My favorite morning Judd ever was with Stella sitting in your lap. That was the best morning Judd you've ever done.
But
it had nothing to do with you.
But I didn't talk
about
her.
Interested
about
in Stella
the whole time.
Regardless.
She was a prop.
I'm. How dare you, sir?
She was a prop.
That is a living creature. That is one of God's creatures that you just called a prop, sir.
I'm a prop on Morning Judd. What are you talking about?
I do agree with the people that think, like, their pet's their child.
Yeah.
It's taking a little far.
And between the wife and I, we treat Stella like that internally. We're like a football team. Internally, we have discussions about the dog like it's our kid, but you don't take that outside the house. You talk about it. If people ask me about stuff like that, you know, hey, how's Stella? She's doing good. That's it. Bang. I'm done with it. Now, I compare Stella to and say that she can make better decisions than sports executives because sometimes that's absolutely true, but I'm not going to then elaborate on the dog.
You guys don't want to.
No, we just don't care.
You just don't want to talk to people.
Rami, how's your dog?
He's great. He's the best, dude. Oh, I love my dog so much.
Like, but that's perfect. Five words too many.
Oh, no, that's end. Just end it right there. He's great. That's good. Still alive? Yes. Good. Cool.
Do you want, like, pictures?
I just need a status check.
No.
You don't want pictures?
No pictures.
So pictures of my dog on my timeline.
Don't.
Not good content.
You know what? If it's one picture
it
on, like, Twitter.
It gets some of the best
then
reaction.
Then
some
that's fine.
Some of the best reaction I get on social
big
media
difference,
pictures of my dog.
Big difference.
He's far more handsome than I am.
If you tweet a picture of your dog, I actually have zero problem with that. But if you pull out your phone right now and start showing me pictures of your dog, I'm out.
Where do we stand on people that make social media accounts for their pets?
Don't like it.
I'm kind of okay with it.
It's way too much. Unless it's a parody account that's really funny somehow. Like, if it's a funny account, but if you're actually, hey, here's my dog, no.
No, what are, you're voicing things as the dog.
Oh, actually, that?
Well, that would be sort of funny.
That's actually a really good idea.
That's a funny idea.
You've never seen that?
No.
Oh, that's rampant in
no, I mean, a good idea for me.
I'm not following Oscar.
Way to go, Danny. Way to give him an idea.
Following Rami is enough.
No, but like, you know how Judd has Morning Judd? What if my dog, not his own Twitter account.
Which is barked into the camera every day?
No. I do a voice.
What I do.
Sometimes we'll talk to my girlfriend as my dog and I have a voice for him.
I do the same with, with our dog.
Thank you.
But it's internal.
Right.
Like I never bring it to...
What if I made that a thing though? What if I made that... Like Morning Judd instead of Morning Judd.
No, that's too much. Keep it internal.
I don't know.
It's like Fight Club. Keep it internal.
I want to do a video thing. I want to do a selfie video, like regular thing, like Morning Judd, and I couldn't come up with the angle. I think Danny just stumbled onto something. It's going to be my dog talking.
Score North does not endorse this idea.
Way to go, Danny. Way to go.
I could flip this either way. I mean, I am just an awesome content creator, and here I am with more ideas, or I'm not connected.
I can't believe how heartless you guys are. You don't want to hear about anything going on in anyone's life.
Yes, just in brief form.
Okay.
Keep it in Twitter form. Twitter has a character limit, and so do
I. Well, and to be very clear, if it's my closest friends, this changes.
Yeah.
But I work with you guys. I don't really care that deeply. I want you to wake up. I don't want you to die or something bad.
I have.
But beyond that, I don't want to hear that much, and you don't want to hear that much from me, and I'm good with that.
I have a 3-minute bit in my stand-up routine about something my dog ate and pooped out, which is hilarious. Is 3 minutes too much? It's great. The
I feel like that setting is so different, though.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it's,
like, you are there, people are there to actually listen to you and laugh.
That's
and you're
true.
Supposed to
That's
be funny.
True. Yeah, okay.
If I see you in passing or we're sitting in the break room and I'm like, how's your girlfriend? I don't need you to go on for 5 minutes.
But what if it's a really funny story? Like, what if I did this routine?
If I am not almost peeing my pants laughing, it wasn't worth it.
I wish I could do it on the air, but it is, it's foul. We'll hit a quick break. More Score North Live right after this. And, the XFL, maybe worse than I even thought it was. Score North Live on 1500, scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile app.
Let your North flag fly. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
Score North Live on 1500, scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile app. Talk some hot stove baseball with Dan Hayes of The Athletic coming up at 1 o'clock, and where the Twins go now with Zach Wheeler signing yesterday with the Philadelphia Phillies. Danny has already informed us that means Wheeler will not be a Twin.
Yes.
Thanks for the analysis, Danny. So that's coming up at 1 o'clock, hopefully more in-depth analysis.
Should be a baseball insider
than that. Judd, I know you were big on the association, which is what people who watch the AFL called it.
Thank you. I'm glad you finally came around, despite the fact the league's been dead for months now, to calling it the correct thing and having proper respect for it.
I know you were anticipating the kickoff of the XFL. Has any of your excitement dampened or cooled off as we get closer and closer to this thing?
I'd say it's on hiatus right now.
Okay.
I'm not really excited about it.
You haven't been as jacked up about you were when it was first announced.
You know, when it starts, will I duck in and catch a little bit? I would say absolutely, but am I excited right now? Nah, not really. Got to be truthful.
Did you see the uniforms?
No, but I saw that
the XFL is putting out.
I think they started to unveil them a couple nights ago, one by one or something, right?
Yes.
How bad are they?
They're really, really bad. The DC one is not that bad. They kind of kept it simple. It looks kind of like Nebraska football uniform. It's just a red jersey, white stripes, kind of a plain helmet.
Looks like
red helmet, stripe down the middle, logo on the side. Standard football uniform protocol, right?
Okay.
Some of these other ones, though, man, all of them look like either arena football league teams or world football. Look at this.
The old world football
league.
Well,
look
looks
at
like,
those.
Miss NFL Europe.
That looks like, that's a good one.
Kurt Warner, baby.
Dallas looks like the Tennessee Titans jerseys on steroids.
Or it looks like they're...
It's what the XFL is,
Judd, on steroids. Some of them look like they're trying to recreate the Color Rush thing, but it's just their regular uniform.
I don't know that those offend me that much, but they don't do much for... Oh, that's not attractive. The Tampa Bay... Leave it to another Tampa Bay franchise to have ugly uniforms.
The Tampa Bay Vipers?
You know what I really
that
hate?
That looks like a uniform...
I really hate the nicknames.
Yes, the nicknames.
I don't like the nicknames at all of these teams. I feel like they missed an opportunity to be more creative, or these just bore me.
You know what some of these uniforms look like? They look like uniforms in football movies that were made by people who know nothing about football. Like, this is what a football uniform.
And that's
looks
a good
like.
Idea. Keanu Reeves should be a quarterback in this league. I might watch it more.
Yes.
So I am now just looking at these uniforms for the first time, and as the resident uniform critic here,
I'll give you that.
DC is solid. I like the defenders.
Yeah, that's standard
a solid uniform.
Solid. They didn't get all crazy with it.
All right.
I like Dallas. I could do maybe a little less red, but I really, really do like that helmet. I think the helmet is awesome.
Can I see it? Can you turn around, or do you have the... Hold on. All right. Yeah, that's not
Seattle's,
bad.
I like Seattle's are hideous.
I like Dallas's helmet a lot. I'll get to Seattle. New York Guardians, not a fan.
Terrible name.
The black and silver and red stripes on the shoulders, it could be way better than it is with that color palette. Houston is ugly. These are terrible. Houston Roughnecks are the worst ones I've seen
so
far.
And for Danny to say that takes a lot. He's very
tolerant.
Worse than
Seattle? Have you gotten to Seattle
yet? No, I've not gotten to Seattle yet. Houston is really bad.
Those have like Puff the Magic Dragon on the side of the helmet.
St. Louis Battlehawks is kind of okay. They kind of remind me a little bit of the University of Wisconsin Whitewater. A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Except that's purple and this is...
And of course we all love those uniforms.
Tampa Bay, oh my goodness.
For me. St. Louis, that's the helmet's too busy. I'm sorry.
It's kind of like the Eagles helmet.
I didn't mean to interrupt our fashion correspondent.
Oh my goodness. Tampa Bay is so bad.
Those are brutal.
These are worse than Houston. Have you seen Tampa?
I think he showed him.
I showed him Tampa already.
Well, you know what?
You should never mix greens. Like, don't mix different color of green.
Yes.
Can I suggest
it doesn't work out well.
If you are a Tampa Bay football franchise just starting, and it's going to be questionable, just go creamsicle.
And you know what?
Copy the old Bucks.
There are only two greens that should ever be used in uniforms. Either forest green or Kelly green. No other green looks good.
What is Kelly green?
Like a lighter green, okay. But it's not the neon green. Right. Like the Wolves green uniforms that they have, hideous.
Speaking of,
the highlighters?
I got to get to a break in 30 seconds. I don't dislike or hate the Wolves City Edition jerseys or uniforms,
but I was underwhelmed by them. They're just kind of last boring year so and blah.
Yeah, they took
last
a very
year's were awesome.
They
last took year's a very were great.
Route,
right. This year's is just right, baby blue with like white lettering, and that's it.
Seattle's no good, and LA is middle of the pack at best.
But that's let me tell you about my dog. Guys.
That's it for
I
Judd.
Talk about my
He'll
dog.
Be back for Mac and Judd with Rami this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Score North Live continues right after this. Dan Hayes really of cool. The Athletic. We'll talk some Twins and Hot Stove on Score North Live on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Score North Live.
It sure is on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. Rami Makhlouf, Danny Cunningham in the TCL broadcast studios. Manny Hill on the other side of the glass. Get back to some Vikings talk a little bit later this hour and a couple of refereeing controversies in the NBA I want Danny's thoughts on as our NBA reporter here. But I want to talk some Twins and some Hot Stove with Dan Hayes of The Athletic, who joins us now on Score North Live. Dan, how are you this afternoon, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Before we get into the baseball, non-baseball question for you that we've been asking all afternoon here on Score North Live, which is, what is a subject or subjects that you don't want to hear your friends talk about? Like, I'll give you a few examples of answers we've gotten. Fantasy football teams, your March Madness bracket, your pet, your kids, your workout routine, what you ate for dinner last night. What is that thing that when somebody starts talking to you about, you immediately glaze over and just have no interest in, Dan?
I'm so guilty of fantasy football that I can't really say that myself. So probably the workout routine and the pets. But at the same time, I love Twitter for animals. So
thank you.
I don't know. But you know, it's I'd go more politics than anything at all. That's the one thing I just don't want to hear. So
as Dan, as someone who does travel quite a bit more than the average person, I would say, do you dislike or like hearing other people's airport horror stories?
Oh man, I love them. It's like and Marriott stories too. Those are the best. So, it's awful. It's like, and you can tell who sports writers are the minute the Marriott comes up in about a half a second. So I mean, we've all been there. I don't do it on social media too much, just because I don't want to do that. But in person, hell yeah, that stuff's great. So
you're saying, though, you are, let me tell you about my fantasy football team guy? You're that dude?
No, I've toned that down a ton.
Okay.
I used to do. I realized how annoying it was. So
what led you to realize it?
I don't know. Probably hearing other people talk about it and going, man, am I this annoying too?
Do people care about this as little as I do? All right, let's get into the Twins, Dan. How close were they on Zach Wheeler? I saw in your article today, I think you said they were not one of the three finalists on Wheeler before he signed with the Phillies yesterday.
I think that had to do with preference more than anything. From what I heard, and I talked, and it's funny, people want to say you're just talking to the Twins, but we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we weren't talking to both sides on this stuff. And I heard really good reports on how much the Twins were willing to go, that they were willing to keep going, and that it just wasn't in the cards. And that's something we've heard a little bit, that Zach Wheeler's a creature of habit. I know that the future in-laws live in Jersey, so Philly. And let me just tell you this from my own personal experience. When I was done covering the White Sox, there were a couple choices for me on cities I could go to. And one is closer to Chicago than Minnesota is. And I wanted to stay in the division. I liked the idea of going to Target Field and covering. Sometimes that familiarity, I think, helps. Like, I knew everybody I was going to be encountering by staying in the AL Central and reporting on the Twins. And I can understand from a personal standpoint where Zach Wheeler would potentially want to stay in the division. I mean, I've heard he's a creature of habit. He's not very far from where he used to be. I don't think he wanted to leave the Mets. The Mets just don't have the money and weren't willing to spend. And so from what I heard, the Twins were very much in this. It just didn't matter. And that's the great part about free agency for these guys. They've gotten to this point in their career where they get to make the choice on what they want to do, regardless of the money. And the fact of the matter is the White Sox offered at least $2 million more over those 6 years. Or 5 years, and they were spurned for him. So, you know, the fact that he didn't take the most money gives you an idea. And I think sometimes it's hard for people to understand. I mean, look, we all know how great Minneapolis is. We all reside there and spend enough time there. But I don't think everybody knows that. And so the dealing with the unknown, and that's the one part that's very hard in these three free agents the Twins are targeting between Wheeler, Bumgarner, and Ryu, is that none of them have played there. They don't go through there. And that might be a hard sell, and it's probably where you have to overpay to make up for the inequity there.
So you just mentioned a couple of other names. Obviously, Wheeler's off the board. Who's next that's going to be off the board, whether it's to the Twins or somewhere else, Dan? Who do you think?
I think Bumgarner goes next. I think it's a natural progression. I mean, we could see Ryu be there, but at the same time, Bumgarner, it sounds like it's getting closer, but, you know, checking in with Twins people, they're not sure what the timeline is. You know, just reading national reports, it sounds like they want to go before the winter meetings. And by the way, all of this is great for baseball to have had good headlines for a few weeks after a two-month period of just disastrous headlines. The free agency picking up has been really actually entertaining, and but I think Bumgarner's could go fast. And the thing is, look, the Twins, I think, will be in this. There's a certain point where you have to decide you're going to overpay. And if it's a heavy competition, there's a point where you just got to say, this is my guy, and we're going to go even further for him. Now, I think the White Sox did that with Wheeler, and they didn't end up with him. And, you know, that's something to do with probably years of bad culture there. It's having covered that team, the Twins is right now a better landing spot as far as what's going on within the organization and the coaching staff and just where they are ideally for players. I mean, you're going to get enhanced the most by coming to the Twins over the White Sox just because they're still far behind as far as the analytics side go. But, you know, it's Chicago versus Minneapolis. There's so many things that these players get to choose between and what most is important to them. But ultimately, you do have to overpay at a point. And, you know, the Twins decided last year with Nelson Cruz they were going to do that. Everybody was offering him about $12 million. It was the Rays, the Astros, and the Twins were all in that $12 million range. And the Twins upped it, and they went to $14 million. And they were willing to go for it because they thought of the value he was going to bring in. And so with pitching, I mean, at one point you're going to have to decide, we're willing to overpay for this guy. And unlike Cruz where it's $2 million, you're probably looking at an extra $10 million over 5 years for like a guy like Bumgarner. And I think that he might be their guy, but until they pay, until they ante up and show it, I mean, it's, you know, they're just going to continue to put the money out there and have to kind of win. And it's hard to do that. So they're going to have to overpay at some point. It wouldn't surprise me if this is their guy, but, you know, a lot of this stuff is kept close to the vest.
Talking with Dan Hayes of The Athletic, covers the Twins here on Score North Live on 1500scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile app. Do we know who's in on Madison Bumgarner? I just saw a report that the Cardinals have shown some interest. And do we know if there are things outside of money that are going to factor into Madison Bumgarner where he decides to go, much like it did with Zach Wheeler?
You know, I haven't heard as much of that, and his market has definitely increased because I think early on in the offseason, MLB trade rumors had him getting like four years and $72 million. He's going to be still a popular guy. The one thing that teams might be a little scared because he hasn't been as good the last 3 years as he was before that, you know, but there were some encouraging signs last year, I think, for him. I mean, the ERA was still 3.9, and he pitches in the pitcher's park, but he played for a bad team. But, you know, you look at some of the things. The road ERA was not great, but there were other underlying factors that were good, and that's the strikeouts were, I think, 203 in 207 innings. And his spin rate on his fastball was the highest increase amongst any pitchers. Now, that's not necessarily saying that his fastball was the best spin rate in baseball. It's saying that his fastball the year before was down enough that he made a huge leap last year back to really good spin rate numbers. So I think analytically he's a guy that the Twins might be interested in. I think he's going to be a popular guy. I mean, you look at his postseason resume, he's definitely somebody that is, you know, experienced. I mean, that Game 7 coming in 2014 World Series was electric, five-inning shutout out of the bullpen after throwing a shutout in Game 5. I mean, everybody knows his credentials. So is he going to be a guy that's up there? I think so. I think maybe some of the performance the couple of years has kept a few teams away from him, and maybe the price tag will. I still think there's going to be three or four pitching hungry teams, and that's why if this is your guy, you have to do the overpay thing. You finally have to. And you know, I mean, he's still a nice young age. He's still 30. He's not as Ryu is 32. He's had injuries himself, so. All these guys have little kind of warts with them. There's nobody that's the perfect free agent. Even, you know, I know Gerrit Cole is perfect, but does the $240 million price tag that's going to come with it, does that not count as a wart? I think it does. That's you're putting so much money into one pitcher. If that guy breaks, you know, you saw it with Joe Mauer where if, you know, he goes from being the catcher to injured for a while and first base and recovering, $23 million, that's a huge chunk of your payroll to eat up. So Gerrit Cole maybe being $30, $35 million, that, you know, that's a lot to absorb a hit on when your payroll is probably topping out at $150 million. So, you know, none of these guys is perfect, but I think that, you know, they still have to stake their claim here and make a move just because right now you have a very good 1-2, you need another three, and then you need that fourth guy. And, you know, if you get Bumgarner and you throw Pineda on the back of it, that's a pretty solid rotation going into 2020.
Aside from the pitching, where have the Twins been sniffing around elsewhere?
Third base, it sounds like a little bit, but, you know, they're so flexible there. They have Marwin Gonzalez that can play there. Luis Arraez can play a little bit there. I think that they can kind of solve the first base woe by moving guys around a little bit and not be really stuck going after one thing. It's sketchy on the reports. I've seen them tied to Josh Donaldson in one corner, and then I've heard no way that's happening in another corner. It's hard to get a read, and teams really do keep stuff close to the vest. So first base, third base would be interesting. And if they're not going to solve this through free agency, you know, the next step would be the trade market pitching-wise. And there are pitchers out there with bloated contracts that teams are looking to shed, and that would be an interesting route too. And Derek Falvey talked about that possibility at the GM meetings. They're in a position where they could take on someone, and maybe a David Price where it's 3 years and $96 million left, or Yu Darvish is $481 million left. You know, something where they could go after these guys and kind of relieve the other team's payroll issues without having to give up a ton in return. You know, that would be an interesting route for sure if they can't get one of these free agents. But, you know, it's a good thing that they're the ones spending all day on this stuff and trying to be creative, because it's exhausting to think about the possibilities of trying to fill out your rotation, you know, especially when you have a lot of teams that are hungrier in free agency than there were a couple years ago.
Dan, you mentioned it earlier, much busier offseason, at least this early on, than we've seen in a number of years in Major League Baseball. And I'm downright giddy about the fact that we can legitimately talk about these things and not just recklessly and wildly speculate about nothing that's actually happening. What is different about this offseason that teams seem a little bit more motivated? There's a little bit more impetus to go out and do something earlier in the offseason. What was the change that made this happen?
Well, I think you see teams like the Reds being willing to spend now. You see the Braves really kind of going hard now.
So it's
now
just more teams actually trying to win and compete, less rebuilding, so more competition spurns the market?
Yeah, and that's what one agent had said to me early on at the GM meetings was, you know, it's a little slow, and we're gonna have to see it, because I think at that point two guys had signed. Will Smith had just signed, and maybe Yasmani Grandal right after that. But the speculation was, hey, you know, teams are more competitive now. We're seeing more teams competitive, and free agency is a little more difficult. You're not finding as many guys, teams willing to trade guys off for prospects. So That was the speculation, was that, you know, free agency is an easier route at this point than going to trade market, because some teams just weren't kind of cashing in like they had been in the past. So, I mean, for the health of the sport, that's a great thing if this is the corner we're turning, because, you know, it's been a little bleak with that stuff. And the last couple of off seasons have just been awful and dragging. And you see Lance Lynn signing in March, and Logan Morrison, and Greg Holland, and you know, last year Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell going all the way till June and after the draft. It's been not fun. Honestly, it's just been really kind of horrible for the sport to have these quality guys out there and teams not willing to kind of go after them, and hopefully that's changing because, you know, anything to avoid a labor strike, the ice starting to thaw a little bit.
One more sort of big picture question for you about what's going on this offseason in baseball. We're seeing a lot of rumors about big ticket, big name guys who are supposedly on the trading block. You have Chris Bryant with the Cubs, Francisco Lindor with the Braves, of course, Mookie Betts with in Boston, or did I say the Braves? The Indians. You have Mookie Betts in Boston. How much of this do you think is real, and how much of this do you think is those teams just putting it out there to gauge interest from other teams?
Well, you look at those team situations, the Red Sox are, their farm system's depleted. Dave Dombrowski did what he always does, is come in and try to win and be aggressive and blows everything up to get there. And the Cubs have a ton of bad contracts on the books. It doesn't surprise me to see those teams kind of fishing for the idea of a big payday for their guys. You know, I mean, you're talking about guys that are getting close to free agency and huge paydays and real dollars. And the teams are thinking, man, we could capitalize on this for a year. And I, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I don't know. Betts would definitely, you know, I think any of these guys getting moved would surprise you, but at the same time, it's sort of the reality of baseball. And it's really depressing for the fans because you want to love Francisco Lindor. I mean, you're talking about probably, I know that's probably one of my favorite players to watch in baseball, and he should be leaving for a long time. And the idea is he's going to be gone soon. And, you know, teams are looking to maximize their value. I mean, the fact that the Indians were willing to trade Trevor Bauer at the deadline last year with a year plus on his contract until he was going to be a free agent gives you an idea of where their head's at. And so Lindor probably isn't that far behind, because if you can get 2 to 3 guys for him, they're going to help you in the immediate or short term. I mean, you got to take that chance if the way you're looking is reduce payroll and homegrown guys. And so it doesn't stun me, but at the same time, it's always weird to see those names on the block.
That's Dan Hayes. Find his work covering the Twins and Major League Baseball at The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter for the latest on what's going on in the hot stove season. Dan, thanks a lot for the time, and we will be checking in again, if you are so willing, as more developments occur in Major League Baseball's offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks a lot. There's Dan Hayes joining us on Score North Live from The Athletic. I love this, Danny. I wasn't kidding when I said I'm giddy about the fact that we have real things to talk about this early on in a Major League Baseball offseason.
Weird.
This used to be, like, literally my favorite thing about baseball. The movement at the trade deadline, the movement in the offseason, seeing all, where all the free agents were going, seeing what all the trades that were happening. It was literally my favorite thing. I liked it more than what was actually going on the field. Some of my earliest sports memories are like Jose Canseco getting traded by the A's at the deadline, because I was a huge Jose Canseco guy. Like Ryan Sandberg signing the huge deal that he did with the Cubs when he came up on free agency. I love this stuff, and it's been missing from the sport. And really, it's, you can only do so much about the product on the field or on the court. And I talk all the time about how Rob Manfred is just missing the mark when he talks about fundamentally changing the way that the game is played and the rules that are in the game. This is really, probably more than what happens on the floor or on the field, where the NFL and NBA just kill Major League Baseball. The way that they hype this stuff up, the way that they line up their calendar to keep them in the headlines and keep people interested, has just been far and above better than what Major League Baseball has been doing, and finally we get an exciting offseason where things are happening.
I think part of it is that those other two sports that you brought up both have a day where it starts.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Like, in the NBA, you know, well, now it was June 30th. They moved it up to June 30th so they could have it in a primetime hour. But you know, okay, July 1st is when free agency starts, and it is going to start with a bang.
Right.
In what it was, March 13th, I think, was this past year, or March 14th or whatever in the NFL. You knew once that date was set, okay, free agency is going to be awesome. Baseball doesn't have that. Baseball, it just kind of nonchalantly starts 5 days after the World Series is over. That's it. Like, there's no,
there is no announcement. There's no nothing.
Part of it. There's no new start to the league year. And I think they should wait a little bit longer after the World Series. You know, have it start December 1st. Have December 1st always be the start of free agency in baseball.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that?
And it's always been like that, but you at least, the winter meetings and the GM meetings, that used to be sort of the launch, that like that would be the equivalent of what you're talking about with NBA free agency day or NFL.
Why not make it
free
official? Agency.
That's what I'm saying. Make it official, but at least we're getting this. And I do think that the GM meetings that are coming up, I think in later in December, in just a few weeks, I think that we will get a little bit of that old feeling back again. And some of the rumor mill and some of the stuff that you're seeing churning right now is actually going to start turning into real news. I think that's where you're going to see the Madison Bumgarners, the Reuse, some of these guys that are out there on the market, and some of the trades that we've heard rumored that I just talked about with Dan, Mookie Betts, Chris Bryant, Francisco Lindor, some big ticket guys that are reportedly on the trade block right now. I think this winter meeting coming up in a few weeks could be the best we've seen in Major League Baseball in a few years, and could be close to the equivalent of what we're talking about with NFL free agency and NBA free agency. That's what those winter meetings used to be every year. That was when all hell broke loose and Scott Boras would show up with his binder for every player who he represented and would address hordes of media. It was crazy. And I think we're starting to move back towards that.
I just wonder if baseball's already lost too many people. Like, I really don't care at this point. Baseball has lost me.
As far as the offseason or just in general?
A lot of it. And not just the offseason. I mean, and so much of it that Dan brought up with the financial realities that some teams are facing that I don't necessarily buy as the truth, but baseball has let teams hide behind that.
Right.
And that kills me. Like that, I don't want to see that. I don't like hearing about, and I dislike Boston sports, all of them. Like,
right.
All of them. I don't want them to have to trade Mookie Betts. Like, that's ridiculous. The fact that the Indians are going to have to trade Francisco Lindor, whether it's this offseason at the deadline or next offseason, is ludicrous. He is one of the faces of baseball, and they can't afford to pay him? Spare me.
But like, those are two different situations, because I don't think they're two different situations. I agree with you on one level, and I disagree on another, because With the Red Sox, what they're running into is they don't want to go over the luxury tax.
They've got all the money in the world. Yeah, go over it.
I understand that, but there are penalties beyond money, and I know people have been screaming for a salary cap in Major League Baseball for decades because of the haves and the have-nots, the inequalities that we're talking about right now. The luxury tax is the closest thing that we've had to a salary cap in Major League Baseball. And it does, when you have teams like the Red Sox having to part ways with a player like Mookie Betts, or at least that's what they're saying they have to do, it evens out the playing field. It spreads out the talent a little bit more when teams can't just spend, buy, and just pound on the smaller market teams. I think what's happening in Boston right now, in a weird way, is a good thing for baseball. The Indians is the flip side of that, which is it's a smaller market team. He's going to hit the free agent market. Somebody's going to throw $300 million at him, or whatever the number will be. And the Indians in that market, a team like the Twins in this market, can't necessarily compete with the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Cubs of the world when you get into an all-out bidding war. I don't mind the impact that the luxury tax has on some of these moves that teams have made or are planning to make. I do still have a problem, though, with a team like the Indians or like the Twins just flat out not being able to afford a Francisco Lindor. That's not good for the game.
It drives me away from the product.
I can see why, especially if you're a fan of one of the, you grew up in Cleveland, Danny, you grew up an Indians fan, and that's gotta suck, dude. That's a tough pill to swallow that your team in the near future is going to trade their best player and the best player that they've had probably since Manny Ramirez.
I think he's probably better than what Manny was. Cause I mean, the same thing happened there.
Right.
It's happened over and over and over again to these teams.
Is this the same sort of situation why Chris Bryant's name keeps popping up with the Cubs?
I think that's more of the Boston situation.
It's that.
It's more they don't want to go into the luxury
tax. I think the Cubs want to do, like, not a rebuild, but reload like the Yankees did, where they kept some of their better players around, and then they traded some of their better players for big time prospects and took a small step back for like 2 years, and then they were right back in the playoff discussion. I think that's what the Cubs are thinking when they talk about trading a Chris Bryant or a Wilson Contreras. They probably won't be as good next year, but I think they want to reload their farm system and get some blue chip prospects who will be up in the next year or two and have them right back in contention.
I'd want to hang on to Chris Bryant if I were them, but
preaching to the choir,
I,
man.
I get it. I mean,
preaching to the choir. That's a guy who, if I'm the Twins, I'm calling about. I'm absolutely calling about. There's a potential hole at third base.
No, there's a hole at third base.
If you want to move Miguel Sano over to first.
You need to move Miguel Sano. He can't play third base.
If you're exploring third base options and Chris Bryant is on the market and you're the Twins and not exploring that possibility, you are remiss. You are not doing your due diligence as an organization.
If you're not going to go after Anthony Rendon, if you're not going to bring in a Josh Donaldson or make a trade for somebody else, I mean, you got to have a conversation about Chris Bryant.
Depending on what happens right now, he's in the middle of a labor dispute with the league because he's crying foul on his service time that they screwed him on his service time.
I hope he wins that.
But as of right now, that you have two more years of Chris Bryant under contractual control. And for me, if I'm the Twins, that's enough. I know I probably won't be able to sign him after that, but the possibility, the potential of keeping that guy here for 2 years and plugging him in the middle of that lineup and your third base situation is solved and your first base situation is solved and what it does for your playoff and World Series chances.
I don't think first base is solved.
All day. And all day.
If you're the Twins, you try and trade for Chris Bryant and if you somehow land him, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to sign him, but you can damn near try.
Right. You're not going to sign him. You can try, though.
No, you're not. Hell, you're probably not, but you can still try.
I said I would go out and get Mookie Betts, knowing you only probably will have him for 1 year. I will pay the price.
What is going to happen with the Bryant labor dispute?
I don't know, honestly.
I hope he wins.
We've never seen this.
I hope he wins.
Players have been getting screwed on service time for as long as it's been a thing in Major League Baseball.
Something that helps stop that.
Selfishly, as a Cubs fan, I don't hope he wins because I want him in a Cubs uniform as long as possible, but the human side of me, who just wants people to be treated right by their employers, etc. Yeah, I kind of hope he wins.
Yeah.
Those are two different sides of me talking. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Xavier Rhodes says a switch is going to flip. I don't know about that. It's Score North Live on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app.
North Download Time. I'm Manny Hill, and we're going to get into some more Vikings discussion here on Score North Live, especially as it pertains to Xavier Rhodes. But Vikings defense overall has been struggling, and it was not good Monday night in Seattle. So Mike Zimmer, is that unit going to bounce back?
Yeah, well, we got to play better defensively than we did the other night. You know, that was a... For us to have the ball run on us like that was kind of a misnomer. Hasn't been like that in quite a while. So we got to do a better job with really all the way around perimeter run force, being in the right place, being in the right gaps, being more disciplined. You know, we probably panicked a little bit the other night.
Yeah, it might have, and you need that unit to be better down the stretch here as the season is wrapping up. Final quarter of the season, four games left in the regular season, beginning on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. That is your Score North Download. Now back to Score North Live.
Thank you, Manny Hill. We are on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. And if you don't have that mobile app yet, what is wrong with you, man? It's free.
Idiot.
It's available in the Google Play Store, the Apple App Store. It's totally, totally free. For a limited time, it's a Christmas special running right now. You can stream us live.
I heard.
Maybe through New Year's. We will see if we extend the sale. But you can listen to us live. You get points for listening to us live, and then you can win stuff with those points, like pretty cool gift cards up around $200 or more. You can also download and subscribe to all your favorite podcasts. Leave us those very, very glowing comments and 5-star reviews because we're fragile and we need them. And it's also your one-stop shop for all written content from scorenorth.com, like Danny's thoughts on the Timberwolves. That's always up there at scorenorth.com and the Score North mobile app as well. Things have not been good for Xavier. And I know we're 12 weeks into the season. Is it Xavier Rhodes or Xavier Rhodes? Because I hear both.
It's Xavier.
Xavier? Yeah. All right. Xavier Rhodes. On Monday night, Russell Wilson was 5 for 5 for 105 yards and a touchdown when Rhodes was the nearest defender.
Not great, Bob.
Not good. No defensive player has more penalties right now than Xavier Rhodes.
Not great, Bob.
And his 8 penalties. But he seems to think that this thing is just going to turn around.
Like I say, you know, I tell my guys each and every day, I'm never going to give up. I'm always a fighter. And that day is going to turn. That switch is going to flip. And when it does, you know, it's over. I'm just waiting on that moment.
I respect the mindset, dude. I really do. And you have to have that mindset to compete at the level that those guys compete at and to be the great player that he was 2 years ago. But I hate to be this cold-hearted about it. That's just a man in denial. That's a man who's been dominant in football at every level that he's ever played. And for the first time ever, his body in the form of losing a step, maybe he's, I don't know what it is.
He's old. That's what it is.
He's being betrayed by age. And I don't think that that's necessarily registering with him. Dude is in denial. Ain't no flip switching, man. There just ain't a flip to switch.
So we talked a little bit. We talked about Xavier Rhodes today on Ventline, as Judd and I seemingly do every single day at this point now.
Collar just hated me. It's actually Xavier. I asked him a few years ago. Cool. All right. Thanks, Xavier. All right.
Anyways.
He messes it up too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Rhodes, to be as big as he is and play the position that he does in the league that he does, you have to be essentially the top 1% of all athletes in the world.
Right.
Like, in just the human race, you have to be.
I forgot who it was that I heard talking about it.
The highest of the high percent athletes in the world.
Cornerbacks are the best athletes on a football field because a wide receiver, they run straight. They might cut, go right, go left. The cornerbacks are running backwards half the time, and they have to be able to open their hips, turn, rotate, and keep up with the wide receiver, maintain position.
They have to be the quickest.
Exactly.
I don't know about the best athletes, but they have to be the quickest athletes. And it's hard to do that at Xavier Rhodes' size for any stretch of time. But Xavier Rhodes was such a good athlete that he was able to do it for a long time, and he was one of the best in the NFL because he was as big as he was and just an absolute freak athlete of a human being. Well, guess what? As you get older, I mean, he's 29. I'm not going to talk about him like he's Rami, who's 40.
Right, exactly.
But he's getting older, and he's old for that position. We'll say that. He is old for corner right now. He's still big for corner. But old and big don't always equate to being a freak athlete still, because Xavier Rhodes is not the same athlete that he once was, and that's why we've seen such a rapid decline in his performance on the field. Manny, can you play that clip again and stop it when I ask you to?
Yeah.
Like I say, you know, I tell my guys each and every day, I'm never going to give up. I'm always a fighter. And that day is going to turn. That switch is going to flip.
Stop. I am with him until he says that switch is going to flip. Always be a fighter. That's a very admirable thing to have.
I respect the hell out of Xavier Rhodes.
Always work as hard as you can to try and be the best version of yourself on and off the field.
And do not give up.
And I do think that Xavier Rhodes is doing that right now. I think he's trying. He's not giving up. And honestly, I do applaud those things.
Yeah.
But there's no switch anymore, man. That switch is covered in a glass case. It's been bolted down and you can't punch through it.
There just isn't a switch. Like, he's in the dark. He's feeling the walls.
He's
looking for a switch.
He's trying to get out of a car. He's in the backseat of a car, and he is trying to get out of it, and there are child locks. Can't open it anymore, man.
You can't work the child lock?
You can't. Okay. You can't open it from the inside. He's trapped.
And some guys, I mean, listen, dude, some guys, Xavier Rhodes is 29 years old. Some guys at that position can still be pretty good into their 30s. Other guys can't.
And I don't know what.
And he is unfortunately one of those guys that you get to 28, 29, 30 years old, it's the end of the line of being what you were.
And I don't know what the answer is, because people are screaming for Holton Hill. Look, if Holton Hill was showing up in practice to give you a better chance to win than what Xavier Rhodes has. Mike Zimmer's not an idiot. Yes, he's loyal. Maybe even loyal to a fault, but not
no,
to...
No, there's no maybe there. He is loyal to a fault.
Yeah. Not to the point where he's gonna put a guy out there who's cooked in lieu of somebody who could do a better job. I refuse to believe that Mike Zimmer is operating his football team on whose feelings he's hurting and whose feelings he's not hurting.
Okay.
I gotta defer to Mike Zimmer and the rest of that coaching staff who see him and see Xavier Rhodes in practice every day and have made the determination, have made the evaluation and the judgment that Xavier Rhodes gives you a better chance to win football games than Holton Hill. If Holton Hill was lighting up the world in practice, he'd be on a football field.
Okay, so then my counter question for Mike Zimmer, if that is the case, my counter question for Mike Zimmer is Holton Hill worse than what we're seeing from Xavier Rhodes right now?
Maybe.
I can't imagine that.
Xavier Rhodes
has been unplayable bad.
And you know what? If Holton Hill and Mike Hughes are worse.
They tried Hughes and that looked just as bad.
But you know what? I think that speaks to a bigger problem, Rami. If Mike Hughes, a first-round pick, by the way, last year, and I know he had the ACL injury, if Mike Hughes and Holton Hill, who is undrafted, but he was undrafted because of off-the-field concerns, if those guys are worse than what we've seen from Xavier Rhodes this year, that's when I got to look at Mike Zimmer and say, okay, dude, you're a defensive mind, you're a defensive head coach, this is... secondary guys, defensive backs, this is your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you were. This is what got you a head coaching job. And if you're telling me Mike Hughes, a first-round pick, is worse than what we've seen from Xavier Rhodes in these first 12 games, what the hell are we doing here?
That's a major problem.
What are we doing here?
That's a huge problem. But I just don't think we're talking about Xavier Rhodes flipping the switch. I don't think there is a switch to be flipped for what ails this defense right now. I just don't think it's there.
I agree with you.
I don't think the personnel is there. And if we were going to see some kind of scheme, something in the X's and O's that Mike Zimmer drew up to take some of the pressure, some of the load off of Xavier Rhodes and those cornerbacks, make their lives easier, we would have seen that by now. The guy has a track record and a resume of drawing up defenses that's as long as anybody in the league right now. If there was an answer in terms of scheme or X's and O's to what's going on with this Vikings team right now, we would have seen it. And if there was something in terms of personnel that they could do, we would have seen it. You don't get to week 13 of the NFL season and already clear your bye week and think that something is going to change or something is going to be better. We need to come to the realization. I think I'm the one person who sat here and given them a chance to win a Super Bowl, even if they have to go through three road games in the playoffs. I'm the one person on this station who's made that, made that proclamation that they can do that. I say that with this grain of salt. We need to come to the realization that this is who the Vikings defense is. If you're waiting for a switch to be flipped with Xavier Rhodes or anything else on that side of the football, you're kidding yourself.
And I agree with you in the fact that, yes, this is who they are. But here's why I will put Zimmer at fault is it's his responsibility to continue to search for that flip, for that switch.
Yep.
And I don't think he's done that well enough. He's not tried things differently.
Again, I can only go up by benefit of the doubt on this.
And I can't give him the benefit of the doubt right now. His defense looks terrible.
And Holton Hill played pretty good last year, late in the season. He played pretty well.
I'll take your word for it because I wasn't here last year to watch it.
And so, all I'm saying is, and look, Mike Zimmer knows more about, Mike Zimmer's forgotten more about football than I could ever imagine to know. And he's with that team every day in practice, and he's seeing what's going on there. But Holton Hill did play well down the stretch last year for you. And Xavier Rhodes right now is so bad that I cannot imagine putting a Holton Hill out there in his place. At least not for 60 snaps and just outright replacing Xavier Rhodes. But you gotta try something here if you're Mike Zimmer. You have to. You cannot sit in the status quo. You can't.
This
team is not gonna go anywhere. And if this team doesn't go anywhere because Mike Zimmer decided to just stick with Xavier Rhodes down the stretch here and he's constantly getting cooked, Mike Zimmer's gonna be out of a job.
That's a possibility. That's a real possibility.
But he's gotta, and again,
but you
it's
think,
his job and he can do what he wants. Again, it's his football team. But he's got to try something different here, man.
Mike Zimmer knows all these things we're talking about. And I gotta think that if there was something he could do, he'd be doing it. He'd have done it. It'd have been done. I don't know how many different ways I can say it.
And I don't even know.
I don't think we've seen him try.
And I don't even know. I mean, he could put Holton Hill in there, and Holton Hill might be just as terrible. But, from an outsider's perspective,
you're saying try something.
Try something.
Convince me you're trying
because
something.
Because the status quo is... You're not going anywhere with the status quo.
This ain't it, Chief.
If Xavier Rhodes is going to play 60 snaps on Sunday against it, and I know it's the Lions and they're bad, but if the plan going forward is just to continue to let Xavier Rhodes play 85 to 90% of the defensive snaps, it's not going to happen, man.
This is not going to work. This is who they are. And they're going to have to win games by scoring, by outscoring teams. This is an offensive football team that's going to have to win some shootouts if they're going to get where they're trying to go. Xavier Rhodes is who he is. This defense at large are who they are. Did I use the right tense there? I don't even care. We're going to hit a quick break. On the other side, we've heard a lot about the NFL's refereeing problems. Now that the NBA has a couple of their own. Right after this, it's Score North Live on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app.
Harden the steal, and the dunk.
Oh, he missed it!
No,
wait a minute.
Yeah, just checking it out.
Oh, remember the Manu play in New York a few years ago? I mean, this goes through, that was good.
Score North Live on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. That was a couple nights ago on the Rockets radio network. Is that right, Manny?
No, that was the Spurs. That was Sean Elliott.
Spurs radio network.
Commentary.
So if you didn't see it, you heard it there, but if you didn't see it, I'm sure you've seen it before. A guy dunks a basketball so hard that it sort of catches the net, loops back around, and then goes over the rim.
Yeah.
That's what happened with James Harden there.
If you dunk the ball really hard, it can happen.
I know from experience, but I'm just explaining it to people who have never dunked, Danny. I couldn't even get through that without laughing. But the referee, played tricks on his eyes, and he thought James Harden missed the dunk and called it so. Now, the Rockets at that time, they had a big, do you know what the lead was, Danny? Wasn't it something like a 12-point lead?
It was a 12-point lead. It would have been a 14-point lead had the basket been properly counted. At one point in the third quarter, I believe it was 22.
Okay, so the Rockets blew that lead, and that game goes to overtime, and they go on to lose the game to the Spurs. Blown call. Obviously blown call to anybody who watches it in replay. I can understand how a referee misses that in real time. Things are happening fast, and like I said, they can play tricks on your eyes when that happens. Blown call, all right. They lose the game. That sucks. But now the Rockets are likely going to file an official protest regarding that dunk, and there are some people who cover the NBA who think that this protest could actually get somewhere.
Yeah.
And they might replay that game from that moment, counting that dunk and then playing the remaining 7 minutes and 50 seconds of the game at a later date.
It's happened before.
I get it. And I'm all for getting things right. That's why I'm always screaming on this station about a hashtag robot umpire takeover. I want referees and umpires to get it right by any means necessary as often as they possibly can. You're opening a huge can of worms here, though, man. There are blown calls all the time.
But there are not blown calls that are directly points. How often do you see the ball go in the basket with no foul whatsoever and points not counted? This is a different type of blown call. This isn't a referee got a block or a charge wrong. That happens. That's a judgment call. This is not a judgment call. There was no foul. This was clear as day, a 2-point basket that absolutely did change the outcome of the game. We see blown calls each and every night in every single sport. Your Bears play the Cowboys tonight, and I promise you that the officials are not going to get everything 100% correct. There are a number of NBA games tonight, and I guarantee you that there are blown calls. As soon as spring training starts in baseball, the very first spring training game, there will be at least one blown call. It happens every night in every sport.
They miss 30-40% of balls and strikes.
Sure, exactly.
That's why we need robot umpires.
There are hockey games tonight. There are going to be missed calls. It happens every single night, in every single sport, at every single level. This does not happen ever. That's why this is a problem.
Manny, you said there is precedent for this? This has happened before where they've replayed a game because of a blown call? Replayed a portion of it?
Not because of this. So the most recent one was, I believe, in 2008. It was a game between Atlanta and the Miami Heat. And the official scorer wrongly assigned Shaquille O'Neal with his sixth foul, fouling him out of the game with 51.9 seconds left.
Okay, yep.
And it was actually Shaq's fifth foul, but because he was disqualified and unjustly disqualified, the Heat protested with the league and the league sided with Miami, said, you're right, this should not have happened. Shaq is allowed to play. You can replay the game. Now, the funny part is, by the time they replayed the game, Shaq was traded.
They've been traded to Phoenix.
So they ended up playing basically but they the did same exact
they
game.
Did replay the end of the game, and the score was different. The Atlanta won both versions of it, but it was a closer version the second time.
Again, I'm not against it per se, because I want it to be done right, and I don't want the Rockets to have a loss on their record that they don't deserve to have. But again, I think it's just a can of worms. It's Pandora's box if you start making this the norm.
I don't think it's not making it the norm, because we don't see this call ever happen. Listen.
But you're acting like people are sensible and are going to go, well, they're only going to do it in this instance. People are going to look at this and go, you replay that.
They're not doing it for a missed judgment call. Those happen every night. And players, teams, officials, coaches, everyone's okay with that and understands
what about,
the human element.
Let's say,
if it were a judgment call, yes, it's not worth the time. This is a clear as day 2 points not awarded to Houston when it should have been.
Let me throw a hypothetical at you. Before the advent of replay, it would happen somewhat frequently. What I'm about to lay out. It would happen somewhat frequently that a guy would pull up and shoot a three and they'd say, nope, toes on the line. That's a two. Before replay. So there was no recourse, and it was just counted as 2 points. Would they go back and replay that? That you cost a guy a point. Cost a guy a point on that shot.
They didn't have the technology.
They never
to do
replayed
it.
Those. I mean, you did afterwards. They didn't have replay and challenges in game, but they did have the technology afterwards to look back and say, no, his toe wasn't on the line. That should have been a three. They never went back and played those. And that would happen. Like,
I think that's a very apples to oranges debate. I don't think that these are remotely the same thing. This was a because it's not just, okay, you lost out on maybe a point once in a while.
Right.
But this is, you lost out on a clear as day basket. Like they went X amount of time without scoring.
Yeah.
When in reality they scored, they just didn't get credit for scoring.
Speaking of bad calls, missed calls, did you see what happened with LeBron last night?
Yes,
amazing. Yeah. Did you catch this?
Hilarious.
It's incredible.
He's bringing the ball up court. He gets past half court in the first quarter and just picks up his dribble. Takes three. He walked from the start of the A to the end of the H in Utah on the floor, and the referee didn't call a damn thing.
The best part about it was not LeBron walking, traveling, not getting called. It's Bojan Bogdanovic's reaction to it not getting called. It is incredible. Go find this clip if you can. It's fantastic.
Go and see that. I'll tweet it out here in just a minute. At Rami is tweeting. He's at Real D Cunningham. That's at Manny Hill. This is Score North Live. 1500, scorenorth.com, the Score North mobile app, wherever you get podcasts. Purple Daily coming up next.